This is Vi Kowalczyk, and we're speaking with Mr. Alexander Lenny this afternoon, better known as Alex.
Alec,
or is it Alex, Mr. Lenny? Yeah. Alec. All right. And I have my husband, Gene, here as well. He's going to do some talking as well, I think. All right, Mr. Lenny. Were you born in Alberta?
Yes, Northwest Territories then.
Oh, Northwest Territories then. Yes. Can you give us the year?
1897.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can you
tell?
That
makes you 92 years old this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm 92 this next month on 3rd of June.
3rd of June.
Yeah.
Mm. Wonderful.
When you say Northwest Territories, what area was that in?
Well, that was in what part of what is Alberta now?
Where was this?
It's called, it's part
of... Oh, it's in Fort Edmonton?
Yeah, part of Alberta is in that,
oh.
You know.
Well, north of here you were born then?
No, I was born down at Bush Street. You know where Andrew is?
Yeah.
Well, that's where I was born.
Oh, yeah, you were about around Andrew area.
Yes. Yeah. That's where my folks are living when I was born.
Now, were your parents born in Alberta as well, or Northwest Territories as well?
My dad was.
Just your father?
My father, yeah. My mother was born, well, I suppose, in Northwest Territory, too, because she was in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
Oh, I think it probably was.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how about your grandparents?
Well, my grandfather, on my father's side, were born in Scotland. And 1835, I think, in July 19th, I think it was 1835.
Yes. And your mother, or your grandmother, I should say now. Your mother, your grandmother was born, was...
My grandmother was born at, what is now Poitrona. What did they used to call that?
York.
Yes.
Yeah, York County, city or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where my grandmother was born.
So your family has been in Canada for
for a
number of generations.
Yes. Yeah, except my father said my grandfather came from Scotland.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What made him come to Canada?
Well, I suppose that he did a lot of the other people. They did. He was a young boy. I think he was 12 years old when he came to Canada working for the Hudson Bay Company.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Can you tell us, do you know anything about his life with the Hudson's Bay Company at all?
No, I don't.
You don't, eh?
No, I don't know anything about his life at all with the Hudson's Bay Company. That's all I know is he was born and with the Hudson's Bay Company. Like, he was born in Scotland. No, he was born in Scotland.
Yes, because he came here as a young fellow, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Have you lived in any other part of Canada before you came to Athabasca?
No, not me.
Not you.
No, my folks here either. They come from... and dad was married at Prince Albert. And then Mother was born in Prince Albert. Dad was born in Fort Edmund. They were married in Fort Edmund. That's the way it was.
They were married in Fort Edmonton, did you say?
Buried. Yeah, but they were.
I see. Mm. And then what made you come to Athabasca?
In 1930.
And what brought you here?
Free land, Homestead.
Land of opportunity, Athabasca, right?
Yeah.
So what did you get, a quarter of free land?
I had a half section.
Oh, you got a half section.
I had a quarter of homestead and a quarter shoulder settlement board. I was a returned man from the First War.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. So anyone who fought in the First World War got their quarter?
They got a quarter of land, yeah.
Free?
Free, if they wanted to take it up, yes.
I see.
I imagine you have to meet certain requirements, though, right? Clearing and building?
If you had a homestead. If you didn't have a homestead and just had that quarter, well, you had to then.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a homestead, you see, and so I got to have sex, and they got them both together. The corner was right outside the other one.
So where did you get married, Mr. Lenny? Did you meet your wife here? Did you meet Mrs. Lenny here in Athabasca?
No, I met her in down there east end in Chipman.
Chipman?
Yeah.
I see. And so were you married before you came here?
Yes, I was married 7 years when I came here.
Oh, I see. So did you have a family then?
I had 7 children when I moved here.
Oh, you already had 7 children when you moved here.
Yeah.
Did you have how many altogether in your family?
We had 10 altogether.
Oh, wonderful big family.
Yeah, six girls and 4 boys.
And Gordon is one of your boys?
Gordon is one.
Yes, I went to school with Gordon.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. We were in high school together, so I know him quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This besides the soldier settlement land that you got, the other quarter, how much did you pay for it? Did you have to pay anything at all?
There was $10 for the homestead, you know. We used to, you could get a homestead for $10.
Right.
And that's what I got, was a homestead. And then I took my soldier's grant right beside, on the same section.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you say you got a grant?
Pardon?
Did you say you got a grant?
Well, they called it a grant, yes, soldier's grant.
But was it in the form of money or just
no,
the land?
No, it was that we could have got it in the form of money or we could take his homestead.
Oh, I
take
see.
Take his quarter of land.
So you took the quarter?
So, yeah, I had one quarter ready and so I took the other one too.
Yes, yes. So did you, was there any clearing on that, on either one of those quarters?
No, not a thing. There wasn't a stick cleared off it. And there were no buildings or nothing. I had to build them all.
Well, what did you do? Tell us about the first days that you spent here. I mean, you've got 7 children, a wife, and no buildings, no nothing. Tell us about those times.
Well, our children was born at Tofield. Five of them. And we moved to Chipman. My wife's folks lived there at Chipman, so did mine as far as it was. And land was pretty higher on there then, you know, and there wasn't much money to buy it with.
Yes.
I had bought a quarter from a soldier's, this SSB as they call it. Shoulder settlement branch, and I took that half section side by side, and we moved on it. There wasn't nothing on it at all. I had to do it all. So I come up here and I built the house, just a temporary house, we said at the time.
Now, explain your temporary house.
It wasn't very big, you know.
A log
building, and it was 30 feet long and 20 feet wide.
That's not very small, that's pretty big, that's 600 square feet.
Yeah.
Did you build it alone, or?
Yeah, I built it alone. And well, I didn't bring the family up till after I had the house done, except the roof. I hadn't done the roof yet. It was getting out of winter.
I see. So you left them back.
So I left them down there till I got the house finished and brought them up.
What did you have in that first house? What about beds? Did you make your own beds?
No, I had. We had beds that we bought when we were on the farm in Chipman there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a new stove we bought at Chipman, new kitchen range.
Yes.
And we had a coal heater, they used to call them, just to burn coal in.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got here, that was no good because there was no coal here, it was all wood.
Yes.
So I had to get a wood stove. So I got one of them, yes, you've all seen them, I guess, the Meritites.
Mm-hmm. Those Meritites were made of tin.
Yeah, made it 10.
So how long before your family came then? When did your wife join you?
I brought her up on the, I think we got here on about the 15th of November, somewhere around there.
Oh,
1930?
1930.
That was just during the Depression.
Yeah, just starting the Depression.
Started the Depression.
Yeah, just starting.
It was a tough time.
Oh, I'd say we had tough times, boy.
Did you get? Did you have your own cattle? A few cows and?
Yeah, I had about seven milk cows and bunch of young stock. I don't remember how many there was.
Yes. What other animals?
Yeah.
Chickens? Did you have any chickens?
We had chickens.
Pigs?
We had pigs. Brought two pigs with us to the homestead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You must have some stories or some not so good memories about the Depression, I imagine, eh?
Yes. It was very hard.
How did the Depression affect you, really, actually?
Well, you see, you couldn't sell anything. The only thing we could sell here, really, was wood, because there wasn't enough farming in the country here, and there was no place to sell grain much except to the other farmer, homestead or whatever, come into the country.
Yes, well, even if you had sold anything, it wasn't worth very much.
It wasn't worth, you know, oats 15 cents a bushel.
Yes.
Wheat was 45, barley 25.
Yes, it was very, very
When
good.
You say selling wood, was the Athabasca power plant wood fired at one time?
Yeah, it did burn wood when they started up.
So this is what you mean by wood?
Yes.
Yeah, it was cordwood.
Yeah, for cordwood.
For firewood.
Yes.
For the creamery also, maybe?
Yes, for the creamery too, yeah.
Hospital?
Well, they had the power plant, the creamery did.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Union Hotel maybe as well?
Yeah, Union Hotel burnt wood and
The hospital did as well, did it not?
Yeah, the hospital burned wood.
How much would you get a cord?
$2 a cord.
And was that, what, poplar?
That is poplar, anything you could...
Tamarack?
Tamarack was about 2.5 a cord.
Oh, it was a little higher.
Yeah, just a little better wood.
Yes, better burning wood, wasn't
it? Yes, better burning wood, yeah. But the tamarack was starting to play out about that time.
Mm.
Went to poplar.
Yes. Was that really your only source of income then?
That was for 3 years.
Is that?
Before we got, you know, got some land cleared up and
yes,
could raise a little grain. Well, I never sold grain because I just raised it for feed. We always kept pigs and mm-hmm. milk cows.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to sell some pigs in the early 30s?
Yeah, there were... about $2 a piece for a pig.
Now, how you'd have to ship it?
Yeah, they used to had a truck in here, Jeff Koch and Elmer Luker.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, what would they charge you to, would they pick up the hogs?
Yes, they could come right to your place and pick them up.
And what would they charge you for?
$2 a hundred, for 100 pounds.
That didn't leave you very much.
No, it didn't leave very much.
Well, how did you manage? You must have raised a big garden, lots of potatoes.
Oh, we raised lots of potatoes and a big garden. My sister was a good gardener. She just raised, we had lots of garden.
Yes, because after all, you did have a large family to feed.
No, we had a big family to support, but at the same time, they helped with the garden.
Yes. How many?
And then we had lots of blueberries in these.
Well, there were a lot of, many kinds of berries,
yeah,
weren't there?
Yeah, and we picked berries and sell the berries.
Oh, you sold the berries
yes,
as well?
Yeah.
How much would you get a pound?
Well, I sold them as low as 3 cents a pound, but the average is about 5.
Is that right?
And 10 cents would be unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable if you got 10 cents. You'd get that maybe at the start of the season, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the price certainly increased after that, because I remember when we were kids, when we used to go picking blueberries and we'd bring them into Athabasca, but I'm sure we got around 35, 40, even 45 cents a pound.
Oh, yes, they did later on, yes.
Later, but that was in the 40s.
Yeah.
Mm.
But in the 30s you didn't get that.
No, but then every bit helped, didn't it?
Oh, it every bit helped, you know.
Yes.
I think I spent 3 years there and I never had a penny of cash. It was all trade and barter, you know. Berries so, or whatever.
Really? So there was a lot of that trading and bartering back and forth in those days?
Oh, yes.
Who were some of your neighbors? Were they?
Well, you know the Sowers?
Yes.
Sowers? Well, they were my closest neighbors. They were my cousins.
Oh, they're your cousins?
Mm-hmm.
Matt and George?
George, Matt, and Frank, and
yes.
Tim.
Oh. Oh.
They're all cousins. Our mothers were sisters.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Well, and who else now would have been in that? Is that what you call the Ferguson area?
Ferguson area. And when we moved in there that fall, it was start from as long as south of the old trail going south there where the road is now. Who was in there?
Are you talking about the Overacker Corner there?
Yes, Overacker Corner, and then south, that's where the old trail used to go from.
They call that Ferguson Road now.
Ferguson Road. Ferguson was on the north end of it. Mm-hmm. And he was the first homesteader in there, so they called the district after him. And the school, we had a school there, and they called it Ferguson School.
Well, he was one of the first settlers.
The first settlers. He was a bachelor.
Now, when you say trail, why do you say the trail? Where did that trail come from?
Pardon?
Where did that trail, talked about
well,
a trail?
Well, like I say, Ferguson was on the north end of it, up by the baseline there. Mm-hmm. And it went south down through, first it comes through my brothers, two brothers had hosted here, and John Berg and Donald Booth. Then it went on south to come to there was a McDonald there one time, but he didn't stay on the 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the trail, you're just talking about a road that went past some of the settlers.
Road, a road going through the bush.
Yes.
There was no road. That's why we called it a trail, because it was really, just they cut a road through and you use it.
Who cut the trail? You people yourself?
Yeah, people ourselves.
Yourselves, yes. So you really, could you use a horses and wagon or a sleigh? Or was it just on horseback that you drove down that trail?
Oh no, we went on horseback. Our wagon, sleigh, whatever.
You could go through with the wagon?
Yes.
I see.
Ferguson was at the north end there and he had no Model T when he came in there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he used to drive up and down.
So how many acres did you clear that first year, Mr. Lenny?
First year, I think I cleared 5.
Now, tell us about how you went about clearing.
Pardon?
Tell us how you went about clearing that land.
Well,
was it all by hand?
All by hand, with the axe and the grub hole.
What would the grub hole? I'm not
sure. It had a long handle on like an axe, and it had a hole. You know what a hole is?
Yes.
Well, this was only, it was a heavy hole.
Mm-hmm.
We call it grub hole because we use it for grubbing out roots.
Oh, I was going to say, probably for digging out the roots.
Yeah, for digging out the roots, yeah.
Well, actually, the bigger trees, you didn't chop them down.
I cut the roots.
With a grub hole, you exposed the roots.
Yeah, it exposed the roots off. And chopped them off, and then sometimes I didn't stand there till the wind blew down.
Yeah.
You didn't use horses and a chain to knock them
out? Oh, I did some.
The
smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. And what was your first crop? Did you plant a crop then?
All oats.
All oats.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting ahead of myself a little. Once you got these roots and whatnot picked or cleared and picked, how did you plow it?
Well, when we got the bush up and the roots and stuff cut down, trees cut down, then we had what they call a brake plow. It was a special plow for. Had a long mole board.
Mole board?
What they call a mole board on the plow, yeah. It's the thing that turns the land over.
They still call it the mole board.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, the shearer is
the
on
shiny
the,
part.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a braking plow?
Yeah, this was a braking plow.
One horse, two horses?
No.
Pulling?
They had to have two or four mostly, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it would be heavy work there, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to pick roots?
And we would pick the roots. And
rocks?
Rocks, whatever.
And then how?
And then we'd disc it with a disc, a little horse disc, and work it up, till it up to ready for seed bed.
Did you have harrows as well?
Yeah, we had harrows, yeah. That's all the machinery there was them days, weren't they? The brake plow, or the two plows, brake plow and a stubble plow, and the disc, and the harrows, and a seed drill. Oh,
I see. When you talk about the stubble plow, now...
You used that after the second year for plowing it. You used the stubble plow because there was no sod anymore, and they had to turn it over, while the brake plow would just go through and make kind of like a ditch.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so once you put a crop in, then you could use the stubble plow.
Yeah, after you had a crop off, then you could use a stubble plow.
Mm. What was your first crop?
I generally had oats mostly. Did you? Sometimes I'd sow wheat, but mostly oats.
And see. Barley. Well, how did you get it off if that was the only machinery that you had?
Well, I had an old binder. I finally got an old binder. I used to cut it with a mower and rake it, you know, and stack it with, and just feed it out of the stack that way. Never thrashed it.
Oh, you didn't even thrash it at first?
No.
My goodness. Mm. So once you got your thrashing machine...
Yeah, then we got a binder and started binding it and thrashing it to a thrashing machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how many acres did you clear this years after that? Did you do a little more each year?
A little more each year. I don't remember just how many each year, but sometimes more, sometimes less.
Did you have, is it heavy, was it heavy timber there?
Oh yes, on my place it was heavy timber.
Goodness. Mm. Made the work very difficult then.
Yes, it was.
So did you eventually clear your whole quarter, both your quarters?
Yeah, eventually did, but I finally ended up with a cattle.
With a cat?
With a cat.
Yes. Yeah. That was in later years, of
yes,
course.
Yes, in later years, you know.
Yeah.
At about, I don't know, 47, I think, or 48, the first time I got a cat to clear land for.
I see. What would they have charged you in those years, in the late 40s? What would they have charged you to clear an acre of land? Or was it by the hour?
They were by the hour. And I paid... Gleeshman, I think it was...
Was it around $15 an hour?
Around about $15 an hour,
so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I remember the name Gleeshman. I believe he had a cat, and he did quite a bit of custom work.
Yeah, he did a lot of that work, brave. He had three cats, you see.
Yes, yes.
But he did a lot.
Right.
Now, cats like that charge close to $100 an hour.
About $100,000, yeah.
Yeah. While they're cut, the cats are with
them. Depends, yeah.
So I imagine your children were growing up and helping you with your work.
Well, yes, as they got older, and then when they got old enough, they went out working. But I managed one of them all through grade 9.
Did you?
Yeah.
So they went to Ferguson School then?
Yeah, I got that. That was the first thing when I got on at Homestead. I said, I'm going to have a school first thing.
Yeah.
So the children get to school, because I had some, well, two of them had went to school at Tofield, and they, 2 years, I think, down there, and then they come up here, and then there was a year without a school.
Oh.
So we got the school built. The school district formed and built. It was a lot of work, you know, to form the school district and
getting
it built.
Did you help build the school?
Oh, I was the main builder.
Were you?
Yes.
But of course it probably was a log building too, wasn't it?
Pardon?
Was it a log building as well?
Yeah, it was a log building. We had, there was two guys here lived west of me. I don't know if you knew the Fodchuks in that back.
Huh? Yes.
Russell, well, you know Steve.
Yes.
Well, they were out there on their homesteads. And I got to Russell and Steve hewed the logs, and that way they paid off their taxes then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Who was your first teacher there?
A fellow by the name of Amber Ross.
Amber Ross.
Amber Ross, yes. And he came from Lamont. His dad was a minister, United minister down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was married by him.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah. And, So I knew him pretty very well. I knew him for a long time, I know.
Yes, yes.
So when I moved up here, and I kind of kept in touch with him. And I told him we were going to start this new school district up here. So he kind of brought his boy up and got him in his first teacher.
Well, that's good. Yes, that school closed. Must have closed in the 40s, or was it in the 50s already? Do you recall?
That was late 40s or early 50s.
Late 30s.
Late.
It closed, I mean...
When it closed, it was in the 40s, yeah, I think so. Late 40s.
48, 49.
Somewhere around there, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So how many of your children came to Athabasca, attended school in Athabasca?
Well, there was... or seven of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But The last two, Alice and Gordon, what came there, I was working in town, working on the hotel. I was a carpenter there on the hotel.
Mm.
And we moved into town for a year.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
The whole family?
The whole family. I rented a house in town and moved right in. And several went to school there. Gordon and Alice went to school there to take their grade 11.
Mm-hmm. Is Gordon your youngest child? Or is
no, Alice? I have three younger than him.
Oh, I see.
There's Gordon and then Diane. She's a nurse. And Rodney, he's a steam engineer. He works at Rocky Mountain House. And then Sheila, she's Bill Costume's wife.
Oh, I see. Yes. Mm. Oh, yes. Sheila was your youngest child?
She's our youngest, yeah. That's our
oh,
baby.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I know now who you're speaking of. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go back a little bit now. My husband, Jean, has been talking to me mm-hmm. about the fact that you were in World War One.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to tell us a little bit about your experiences.
I don't care to talk about.
You don't,
no,
eh?
Not it's over there.
Is that right?
No, I just never got over it. I don't care to talk about it.
Very good. Very yeah. good, Mr. Lenny. We can mm-hmm. certainly appreciate that.
I've seen too much misery and suffering.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
None of your children, none of your sons went overseas for...
They were in the Second War.
Were they?
The two oldest boys. And the little Lester was killed over there.
Your one of your boys was
killed? One of my boys, yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, which one
sorry,
was that?
Lester, he was Lester. My second boy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, well, I can understand why you would want to be talking about mm-hmm. wars. Oh, dear. Dear. I was going to ask you also, do you live, your Mrs. Lenny still lives on your home place?
Pardon?
Is your Mrs. Lenny still living on your home place?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She lived till 1950.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't mean Mrs. Lenny, you mean Mrs.
His wife?
No. Mrs. Overacker? Is that your daughter?
That's my daughter.
That, oh, I'm mixed up. Yes, I see. Mrs. Overacker is your daughter.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Is that your home place there?
Yeah, that's part of it. I gave that, where they had their house and barn, part of the barn there, in that corner. I gave the school district 3 acres there to build a school on.
That's what the old Ferguson school.
Yeah.
And that's where Mrs. Overacker.
And that's where she's living now, is in that old schoolhouse.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So you don't
and the rest of that farm was yours,
then? Yes, the rest of it was mine. I had that and a quarter west of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty good land there.
That's good land. That west quarter I had was just a dandy quarter. There was no stone, no. And not too many roots when I cleaned it. Trees, there was trees on it, but they were far apart, kind of open, like, you know.
Tell me, how did you get to town? Because that road that goes there now, that pavement, it wasn't there in 1930.
No, see, not. The first time we went to Athabasca, we moved there in the fall, not the first time we went, but I remember in the spring, the first time in the spring, after it thawed out, you know. There was no road, and Mrs. and I and two more brothers, we went to town, and the road was bad. And we had
it's mostly swamp.
Yeah, it was all swamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. Which way did you go? Did you have to go through Carlton?
At that time, one time we had to go through Carlton. Well, I made one trip around by Carlton,
mm-hmm.
but I never made that again. I tried to avoid getting up to go to the head so I didn't have to go down too often.
When did you get your first car, Mr. Lenny?
My first car?
Yes.
Well, the first car I had on the homestead, I had one at Tofield I bought in 1927, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a Model T?
Yeah, a Model T. Yeah. And then I got my first and 45, after the summer, after fall after the war, quite.
I see. Did you have a truck before that for the farm?
This was a truck. I didn't have nothing before that, just horses.
Yeah. Oh, just the horses, eh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see, yes. Let's just go back to the schools for a little while. Do you remember any of the activities or social functions that they carried on in the school at that time?
Well, we used to have dances. And then we'd have box horses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'd have a picnic and have a dance afterwards.
Yes. Yeah. Meetings. I suppose the school was used for meetings as well.
Oh, yes. Used for meetings and used it for church.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. We used to go. Yeah, did you wouldn't know him, I guess, Archdeacon Little.
Oh, yes, we know
Archdeacon
Little. Oh, of course we do.
Well, he used to come out there. He once started the services there in Ferguson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You people never did have a church there, did you?
No.
No.
We were going to, we're talking about building one time, and then started getting cars and stuff, and we figured we didn't need to.
Yes.
We had to go into quite a bit of debt, and it was only two or three families there, and there's really too much debt to carry on.
Yes.
So we just let it go at that.
Well, times were hard then, but you.
No, times were hard.
But people had enjoyed themselves when they got together, didn't they?
Oh yes.
They had a good time.
Oh yes. Yeah, I know. My family, they all enjoyed life. They all look back on it now. At the time, we thought it was pretty hard, you know.
Yes.
But we look back on now and think of the good times we did have.
That's right.
Kind of offsets for that day.
Exactly, yes. It was quite an adventure, all right, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you get your, did you build a new house after you built the little
house? Oh, yes, I built the old homestead house.
Yes.
And we lived in it for years. And, besides doing all the farm work and stuff, it took me about 2 years to build that house. It was a log house, and I had to got them sawed off, you know, on each side. And
oh, yes.
Took the slab off each side, so they were all the same width. And,
mm-hmm.
and I built a new house out of that.
How did you get the sides cut off like that? Was it with a sawmill? With one of those buzz saws?
Yeah, a big sawmill.
Oh, at the big sawmill?
Yes.
Where did you take the logs then?
I had them done right there.
Oh, did you?
There was a sawmill coming through the sawing lumber there, and so I had them move over and do my logs for me.
Who was the fellow?
Calvert. Herb Calvert.
Oh, I see.
Mm. Would that be a relation to Floyd Calvert?
Here's your brother Floyd.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then, after 2 years of building, working on that house, mm-hmm. I guess you just didn't have the time to spend.
I didn't have the time because I was farming and
yes.
all the
clearing
all the
land.
Work that goes on the farm, you
exactly.
know, and then trying to build this house at the same time.
Yes, yes.
It took me 2 years before I got it done.
Where would you have to buy windows and doors?
I bought them from Fowler's in Athabasca.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, what else would you have had to buy for your house?
Well,
shingles.
Shingles, and the shingles I got were homemade. Russell Kostick, he had a shingle mill and he made them.
He had a shingle mill?
Yeah.
I've never heard of a shingle mill here. No?
Oh, yeah, he had a good one. He made good shingles, darn good shingles.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he make them out of? What type of...
Any kind of wood.
Really?
Yeah, I got mine all made out of spruce.
Well, what did he charge you for the shingles?
Maybe $2, $2 a thousand, I think.
Oh, for goodness sake. Mm. So then, after you moved in... when did you get your first radio, for example?
Well, I got that the year I moved in, I think. No, I got it before we moved into the... We were still in the old house when I bought the first radio. Yeah. I don't know just what year that was, no.
Probably in the late 30s, eh?
Maybe late 30s, or some more likely in the 40s.
In the 40s, yeah. That I suppose you purchased in Athabasca as well, eh?
No, we sent to Eaton's for that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Good old Eaton's catalog.
Yeah, good old Eaton's catalog, yes.
Yeah. Did you buy a lot of things through the Eaton's catalog?
Pardon?
Did you buy a lot of things through the Eaton's catalog?
Oh, yes. I bought a week. My wife was a believer in Eaton's.
She'd
never buy anything in Athabasca. She'd get to Eaton's.
Oh.
She'd always send them in order.
I suppose everything from clothing, ski suits to rubber boots to everything.
Clothes,
bedding and everything.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, what would you have bought in Athabasca? Your groceries.
Bought my groceries and... Oh, we bought some clothing there, of course.
Yes.
And sometimes we didn't have the cash to send away, but I could take some wood to town, trade it off for clothing, you know, at the stores in town.
They would do that, eh?
Yeah, they would, yeah.
Would they allow you to charge up groceries at that?
Oh, yes, they were good that way.
They
some
were.
Of them were, as long as you kept your note clean.
I see. Mm-hmm. That means at the end of the month you'd have to pay, or?
Yeah, well, no, generally in the fall, after after harvest.
Ah,
yes.
Yes. No.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Telephones. When did Mrs. Lenny get her first washing machine?
That was from Eaton's.
It was from Eaton's?
Yeah.
Well, how did they ship that, by
well,
train?
They shipped it by freight on the train.
On the train.
Yeah, and shipped it. Shipped it to Athabasca.
Mm-hmm. What would it cost you what did you have to pay? Would the Eatons pay for it, or did you pay the freight?
No, Eatons paid the delivery.
They did?
Yeah, I just bought the stove and they paid the delivery.
Oh, well, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was all included in the price.
Well, that was good. Yeah.
Well, it must have been a gasoline motor on it.
Yeah, a little 3 horse gasoline motor. Tell you a little story about that little gasoline engine there. We had some sheep, you know, and the mother to this little lamb had died, so we raised them on a bottle, and
yes.
we kept them in the house. And they're in the box here in the house. And so when he got on in the summertime, he was jumping around, he'd run outside and come back in, and the missus was going to wash clothes one day, and she put the clothes all in the... And she had a pile of clothes laying here, dirty ones, and he'd get in there and paw them around, you know. And she started that little gasoline motor up. Boy, that lamb went out there, he'd never come back.
Is that the end of his bottle feeding, was
Boy,
it?
Boy, he just hung off as hard as he could run. He never did come down again. Couldn't coach him in.
He was scared.
You talked about having several children when you came to Athabasca. Were they born at home, or were they born in the hospital?
Some of them were born in the hospital. Two of them were born at home. The rest were born in the hospital.
Did you have a midwife?
Hmm?
Was there a midwife present?
No, the doctor used to come out. Dr. Law from Tofield.
You had the other doctor come?
Yeah, he'd come out from Tofield there.
Well, why wouldn't you have had Dr. Meyer?
Well, that is up here.
But I'm saying once you came to Athabasca.
Yeah, I had the buyers this year after I came to Athabasca. He was the only doctor there.
Yes. Oh, sure. So then he would come out to the home, wouldn't
he? Yeah, Law used to come out and take care of him right there in the house.
Yes, well. Mm-hmm. Did you have any problems with illnesses, or anybody get hurt that you had to take them to the doctors in Athabasca at all?
Well, I had my eye poked out first thing.
Oh, yes. How did that happen?
Driving team horses through the bush.
Oh.
And this willow caught on the part of the harness, you know, and the darn thing broke off and flew back and went right in my eye.
Oh, nothing they could do to save the eye?
Nothing. Took it right out.
Did they? Right here in Athabasca?
That was out on the homestead there.
Yes. Did you have to come into Athabasca?
I came to Athabasca and I spent... That's when Dr. Turnbull was there.
Oh, yes. Turnbull, yes.
Mm-hmm. And he kept me there for a week and then he let me go home and he thought it was going to get better. And I told him, I don't think I'll ever get better. I said, I don't think it's any here to get better. I think that eye's all out of there because it was swollen so bad you couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
So, this Saturday morning I said, told Mom, I said, well, we didn't have money enough to run to Edmonton running another much, you know. And I took every darn cent we had with us in the house when I went. And I went to Edmonton. And I got in there Saturday morning. And... No, it was on Friday morning. Of course, Saturday morning they did the operation and cleaned it up when I was out of the hospital.
Oh, so
and
you
let me go home.
So you did go to Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But every, as far as the children were concerned, no bad illnesses or anything?
No, we never had no bad illnesses.
You were lucky.
Yeah.
Other than, I suppose, the regular measles
or chicken pox?
Measles
and mumps and all that
stuff.
Bad cold.
Yes. What did you do for the kids when they were ill like that, with colds and so on? Did you have any good...
We had our own remedies.
Well,
you know?
Tell me about some of those.
Well, one of them was electric oil. That was my wife's favorite. Electric oil would cure any fire she was concerned.
Electric oil?
Yeah. I don't know if they still had it down here in the drugstore about 5 years ago. I don't know if they have it there yet or not.
Well, how would they take it?
You drank it or you rubbed it on or whatever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it.
No. I haven't either.
It's a stickiness sort of stuff, you know.
Hmm.
But it was in a little bottle, not a very big bottle.
Well,
mm-hmm. And that is our main medicine mostly. Another thing was cranberries. That was good for their stouts.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm. Cranberries.
Just eating them.
Yeah.
Or drinking them, maybe the juice.
Yeah, take the juice and give them, drink it. You know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any others that you can think of?
Oh, then they had this year. Painkiller, they called it, and it was just for colds and bad colds and stuff. It was strong. I don't know what was in it. I know there was a lot of whiskey in it.
Oh, is that right?
That's the best medicine.
Yeah. So.
Did anybody around there make whiskey? And was there lots of it, eh?
There were lots of it around there.
But then people didn't drink No, that wasn't allowed, of course,
but
in their own homes.
Sure, just in their own homes.
Yes, yeah. you talked about working in town, doing some building. Did you earn money in any other way? Did you do any trapping, for example?
Any
trapping of furs?
Oh, I've trapped some, yes. Not a great deal, but I traveled some.
Mm-hmm.
Rats and weasels and...
When you say rats, you mean muskrats.
Hey?
Muskrats.
A muskrat, yeah.
Yes. What would a muskrat bring you in the 30s?
I think it was about $2. They weren't bad price them days.
Well, I should say that's quite a lot, actually.
So I got $2. I know how I know. Remember that one anyway. It was $2, one bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were getting darn low in flour and bread and stuff. And I had this little collie dog. And I never thought, she was a good cattle dog. I never thought she was any good for hunting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I went out hunting squirrels this afternoon, and she came along with me. And when I was going back, we come over this old beaver dam. There was a lot of water in it. And she come over through the bush there, and by God, she smelt around the ground there, and pretty soon she started digging. And I said, "What the heck's the matter with you? What are you digging there for?"
Yeah.
And I tried to coax her home, go to the house. It wasn't far from the house. So I went home and had supper. By God, she was still barking and digging down there, and I went back down and took an axe and drove her with me. And here she was just about out of sight. She had dug in this beaver dam so far you couldn't hardly see her anymore.
Yeah.
So I got her out of there, and I went out with the grub hole and the axe and dug it out, and I found this rat den down in there. So I was pretty lucky. I got 15 rats out of that den. If that dog hadn't have done that, I would never got them.
Oh.
Never knew they were there.
Yes. And as far as
and
the other...
And $2 a piece then.
Well, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just trapped mostly around your...
Yeah, just around. I never was a trapper out in the bush, you know.
No.
I did. Used to go out once in a while trapping rats back in the hill or the north there.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring.
Were you a moose hunter at all, or a deer hunter?
Oh, yes, I was a moose hunter, a deer hunter. That's what I lived on.
I was going to say, you almost had to do that to have provide enough meat for your
family.
Sure,
I had to.
Yes, I should say.
I went out one morning. Russell Costa had a single mill, and he was working up there, and he come back that evening, and Alec, he said, "You want to get some meat?" And I said, "You're darn right, I need some meat." And he says, "I seen one big old bull moose up here tonight, just along the road. So if you ought to go with me in the morning, you can ride up with me that far and you can get off the sleigh and walk." So I went in the morning and come up there, and I I just got off the sled down the highway, maybe went 50 yards, and this old moose jumped up. I was closer to when I thought I was. And he jumped off and he run, and I watched him through the bush and he stopped. So I took it pretty quietly around there, and before I got to him, I happened to look up and here was a moose looking straight at my face. When he descended back a little bit, boy, I pulled up the old rifle and I knocked that one down, and I went to go and cut his throat, and here was two more standing there. So I got all three of them.
Goodness.
So the neighborhood had meat then.
Yes, yes. What did you do with the meat?
The missus used to can it. And
in jars?
In the jars.
Yes.
And then I would slice up a lot of it and dry it and smoke it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. When that got dry, why, it just kept forever.
For a long time, yes.
Yeah.
Now, when you say dried, you mean just in the sun or in the oven?
No, just in the sun. Outside,
yes.
Where the air got at it.
Mm-hmm. And smoking it, how did you go about smoking it?
I'd hang it up, I made a canvas stand with put a little rod around on it, and I'd build a smoke down in the center of this thing, and it'd all go up through the meat, you see.
Mm-hmm. How long would you smoke that meat?
It took about 3 days.
3 days?
Yeah. I never smoked it all at one time.
No.
Smoke it a little bit for a day or two, and then let it rest a while.
Mm-hmm.
That was a better meat.
Right, yeah. Did you ever take wheat into town to be ground into flour?
Yes, I've done that. Yeah.
You did, ain't you?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, eh? What would you charge? What you could probably get 100 pound of sack of...
It used to be $2 a hundred here. They just grist it. They didn't have the real flour mill to separate as much, you know.
Oh.
They didn't do a very good job of it.
They didn't?
No. Flour, the bran was a lot of wheat, a lot of flour in it.
Mm.
So we used to use that bran for porridge in the morning.
Oh, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. That's the thing we used to do down at Tofield. There was a big flour mill at Mundir, and we always took wheat there in the fall. Get a load ground up at one time. And
I thought Mundare was just famous for Kubasaw, Mr. Lenny. They ground flour there too, eh? What would your taxes have been in those days in the early 30s?
Here?
Yes.
What about $10 a quarter, I think it was.
Is that right?
Yes.
Would somebody come around and collect those, or... would you have to come into Athabasca?
They had to pay it to the secretary of the school.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, he collected the taxes.
He would, yes. Mm. That helped pay the teacher, no doubt.
Yes.
Yes.
So.
When did you get your first television, Mr. Lenny?
First television and what? God, my memory's getting bad.
Well, all of ours is...
The
60s?
We were in Edmonton. 56, I think it was.
56?
Yeah.
Did you say you were in Edmonton?
Yes. We moved to Edmonton. I got a job on at Fort Saskatchewan building on that bridge there.
Oh.
So we moved into Edmonton, and we had Dan and Gordon and Sheila was going to school there. Dan was in grade 12. She finished that year.
Well, which bridge is that now we're talking about?
Well, you go across that bridge when you go, you've gone across it. You went to Sherwood Park in Fort Saskatchewan, across the...
Oh, that
river.
Bridge.
Yeah,
I see.
You travel on north if you go through to Fort Saskatchewan.
Yes,
north.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I was head carpenter on that job.
Were you? Are you actually a carpenter by trade?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
I was, yeah.
I see. What other things did you build? Did you build other buildings in Athabasca?
Oh, yes. I worked on the hotel in Athabasca. And I worked on the bridge. When they built the bridge, I was head carpenter there.
Here in Athabasca?
Yeah.
In the 1950s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Early 50s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
And I worked on some houses around there.
Oh.
I built an addition onto the church hall out at Baptist Lake. Where they have that, the Anglicans have that school out there, church out there, and they have Sunday school, and take kids out there for holidays in the summertime. And
You camp, you don't mean Camp Matawan?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Camp Matawan.
Oh, I see.
Well, they had a little building there. So then they got me to build this additional. I built that, all that hall and kitchen and everything.
Oh, did you? Yes, I spent a summer there at Camp Matawan.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Oh, yes, when I was about 12. All right. So when were you able to start sending, shipping cattle and hogs to market? Because there must have come a time when you didn't just need it for your own purposes, for your own food.
Oh, yeah, I started, well, right from the first one to Athabasca. The train used to take them there, you know. You'd one or two or whatever, you had to ship, they would take it.
Did you ship it through the creamery? Didn't they buy...
No, they didn't buy beef or meat.
Well, they did at one time.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they used to... not only eggs and cream, but they used to... you could ship hogs through them, and... I don't know about cattle, but I am sure that you... seems to me that I've read in the in the old Athabasca vehicles, but you never shipped through them.
No. I don't remember that.
But
do you remember a fellow by the name of Jimmy Service?
Jimmy Service. Yeah, he used to haul for me.
Was it livestock he was hauling, or was he in grain?
Livestock.
Livestock.
Yeah.
And wasn't there somebody by the name of Shoebridge as well?
Yeah, Shoebridge, yeah.
But he had the insurance agency.
Agency and real estate office.
Real estate, that's right.
Yeah. He didn't have trucking? Shoebridge?
No, they didn't have trucking, just... what do you call them?
Real estate, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just maybe go back a little bit. And can you tell us anything funny that happened? Anything unusual that happened while you were homesteading out there, Mr. Lenny? Any incidents that you can recall?
Man, I see now.
That's something you'd have to think about, I imagine, eh?
Yes.
Yes. I suppose there were just people worked so hard and kind of kept their noses to the grindstone.
Kept their noses to the grindstone.
I thought, wondered if anything unusual had happened.
No.
Have you ever flown, Mr. Lenny? Have you ever been in
airplanes? Yes. Yeah, I've been on airplanes.
Have you traveled quite a lot?
Well, no, not a great deal, but some.
Do you enjoy your television?
Oh, yes.
You do, eh?
Yeah. I enjoyed the plane. That was good. I generally fly to B.C. because I have two daughters at Cranbrook.
Oh, I see.
And I generally go to Edmund, take the plane from there, and fly to Cranbrook.
Oh, sure. Certainly, yes. Yeah. Did you take part in any organizations or...
Well, I was in the school... For years, as long as I lived out there.
On the school board?
School board.
In what capacity?
I was the chairman.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
What were your duties as chairman?
Pardon?
What were your duties as the chairman?
Oh, we had settle school business and stuff,
Hire and fire the teacher?
Hire and fire the teacher.
Make sure the wood is there?
make sure the wood was there. That you pay for it.
Yes, and had the janitor in place, eh?
Yeah.
Who usually did the janitor work then?
Well, first, the few years I was there, we didn't have no janitor. Teachers generally did that.
Oh.
Yeah.
The teacher started the fires in the winter.
Yeah.
Well, where did the teacher stay? Was there a
teacher? Well, one year we had this one teacher, she boarded right in the school. I partitioned off part of the school, a corner for her. And she slept over at our place, but she ate her meals over at the school.
Oh, I see. You never actually had a teacher each there then?
Yeah, later years. Later? Did, yeah, after they formed a big school district. Then we got the teachers.
Now, when you say the big school district, that means
what? The county.
School division.
School division,
yes. After the school division. Yeah.
Well, before that, you were in what they call Nelson?
No. No, we wasn't. We were just on the outside of Nelson.
You were in the local improvement district?
LID. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I see.
We was in LID till we formed the county.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 1959,
wasn't it? Yeah, something like that.
Yes. So other than the school chairman, what other things, what other organizations?
Oh, I used to take part in the church and any other organization, they generally stuck me into it somewhere.
Is that right? How about the United Farmers?
No, I never joined the United Farmers.
You didn't, eh?
No. I didn't have enough grain and stuff to sell, so I...
Oh, I see.
Because I mostly fed my grain.
Yes.
I had maybe a little wheat in the fall, and that'd be about all, the barley, and then I used to feed a lot of wheat, too.
Mm-hmm. So did you expand into cattle?
Pardon?
Did you expand into cattle rather than grain farming?
Yeah, I always really liked cattle the best.
Oh, I see.
I was always a cattleman.
Right. Uh-huh. When did you actually retire, Mr. Lenny?
Retire?
Yes, when did you retire?
When I moved to Edmonton in 50, sir.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, I quit farming before that. It was in 50 when I really quit farming.
Mm-hmm.
Got off. 1950, I think. Was
oh,
that.
I see. Yes, yeah. Ah. What else do we want to ask here?
So most of your family isn't here anymore, not in Athabasca. Gordon is here and...
Gordon and Dorothy.
And Dorothy.
And Sheila's in Rochester.
Yeah, and the rest of them are all over.
Yeah, we've got four in Edmonton.
Some in Cranbrook?
Two in Cranbrook, and two in Shura and Rocky Mountain.
So they're all in Alberta?
Yeah.
All except
all
the Cranbrook.
Cranbrook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I guess I should have asked you about when you got married, what kind of a wedding you had. I'm just looking at my notes here. Weddings were pretty simple in those days, eh?
It was a very simple wedding. We got married in my wife's parents' home,
mm-hmm.
and we had a big wedding dance at my parents' home that night.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the meal was just prepared by your...
Yeah, they were prepared just by
the local people.
Local ladies.
Ladies. And you started out with just a very minimal amount of money, I suppose.
I think I had $7 after the wedding was over.
My goodness, eh?
Yeah.
At least you weren't in the hole.
No. But I had been betting, you see, and I had this house to move into. And
oh, so you were lucky in that
we
respect.
We were lucky that way, and I had a few groceries in there where I was betting.
Yes.
To start out with.
Yeah. Did you find...
Something to be said about having $7 that's better than the owing $70,000.
Yeah. It was mine, anyway.
Yes, that's for sure. Oh, times were tough then, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But everybody seemed to make out okay.
Oh, everybody made out okay and seemed to...
Prosper and
enjoy life,
that's right.
Forced.
Well, I think in a lot of ways they enjoyed life...
Well, I had more time than
well,
I had
yes.
now. Yes.
Yes, it seemed like it was nothing to hitch up the team on a Sunday afternoon and go out for the day.
And
people don't have that time anymore.
Don't have that time anymore. Even they got cars to travel with.
Yes, isn't it a shame?
Yeah, it's your thing. It's a shame that people don't take time to live.
Yes, that's right. Get so involved and
get so involved.
Busy.
Yeah.
Yes.
You take now. I know. Francis Overacker and Wilford here, they got them two children. Well, they have no time to themselves. Mm-hmm. Sunday, any day, they're out playing ball.
In
the evenings.
Yes, driving the kids around
driving
here and
the
there.
Driving the kids around playing ball.
Yes, yeah.
I think I was out there the other day with the Dorothys, and Francis and Wilford just come home from Barhead. They'd been out to a ball game out there.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. It seems ridiculous to go by to play ball.
But we're going farther and
farther
afield
all the time,
Mr. Lenny.
Yeah, we've got faster and faster cars.
That's right. You know, we stuck pretty close
mobile,
to
yeah.
Yeah, we stuck pretty close to home in our own areas when we were young, and now our kids just seem to be going farther and farther.
Yeah, farther and farther. Yeah.
And I don't know if the families are as close anymore. They just seem to be going off in every direction all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. What, for example, what would you do on a Sunday afternoon with your family in the old days?
Well, we'd go visit some of the neighbors or something like that. Maybe go out picking berries.
Yes. Did you play cards?
Oh, yeah, we played cards in the...
In the evenings?
Evenings.
Yeah. Did you ever have surprise parties?
Card parties? Oh, yes, we had lots of them out there at Ferguson.
Yes.
We had crib parties.
Oh, crib parties. Yes, I guess they were the good old days, weren't they?
Yeah, they were to me, anyway.
Yeah. Well, our daughter just was looking at some of the things I wrote in my story that I'm writing about my family and life on the farm. And she said, I don't think, I'm just writing very briefly about our children's lives. And she said, I said, then the rest you can write yourselves. She said, well, I don't think our lives will be quite as interesting as yours.
No.
Oh, dear.
I remember one year my horse had all died and I had a team of oxen.
Did you?
And I went to town, had to go to town for some groceries and stuff. Took these oxen and the roads were bad. And you know, I was gone a week before we make that trip.
My goodness.
And Sheila, there, the youngest girl, never rode by a horse hardly. And I was telling her about this trip with the oxen. What did you do it for, Dad? I said, to put some flour in your belly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, how did you manage if you were gone for a week?
Oh, my family was good. They worked on the farm and kept it. It was in the spring of the year, you know, and I wasn't farming then yet.
Yeah, but, I mean, it took you a long time.
Oh, I camped out alongside the road.
Did you?
I had my own
grub with you?
Yeah.
Good. What would you have taken for grub along then?
Oh,
some dried meat and...
Dried beef
bread.
And bread and butter and few potatoes. And
some milk, I suppose?
Milk, yeah.
Well. And when you got to Athabasca, did you stay in town at all overnight?
Overnight. I stayed one night, and then the next day I started for home again.
Did you stay at the hotel?
No.
You couldn't afford that?
I couldn't afford that.
Oh, see.
Even if it was cheap.
Is that right?
No, I had my own blankets, and I slept right out on the ground.
With the stars overhead, eh? My goodness. Well, there was an old livery barn. Is that, you didn't park your two oxen there, eh?
No, there used to be another thing, was that darn hill to climb.
I hear that was quite a hill. East hill you're talking about.
Yeah, east hill. Yeah. You know, it was straight up that hill there, the road did.
Yes. Wasn't cut down like it
is
now.
No. Wasn't cut down. But they were raised, you know, steers are raised right on the farm. There.
Oh, I see. So they were fairly tame then.
Yeah.
But still, you had to harness them up.
Oh, yes. Oh, there's nothing to break in the auction, though. You put a harness on them. The main thing was to get them to go.
Oh, so they were quite easy. Yes, they were easier then than horses in that respect. So, but the thing was to get them moving, eh?
Yeah.
That's why the trip took you so long, eh?
Sure, that's why it took so long, because they were so slow.
My goodness.
But they were powerful, boy.
Were they?
Oh, they were powerful.
Could pull quite a load.
And I had a lot of good horses in my day, but I ran in it because I'd pull a team of oxen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So did you use them at all in the farm for any farm work or not?
I just had them for about two years. Yeah, I used them for farm work.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know what... The horses got some kind of a disease in there and they just died every year. And I'd go and buy another one and that would take sick and die or something. And
you don't know what caused the sickness?
No, they used to call it swamp fever or whatever that was.
Yes, whatever that was is right. I don't know. Where would you buy your horses?
Oh, around the country here.
Just personally?
Find some horse trader or something.
Oh. Some horse trader.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that you could always buy them from the neighbors, I guess.
Oh, yes, the neighbor had one to sell, I'd buy from him.
Right. You had mentioned you had raised sheep for a while.
Yeah, I did have sheep, yeah.
Did you? Yeah. Did you use the meat as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. That's about I kept them for mostly.
Mostly, did you?
For meat, yeah.
They were kind of a miserable little animal to keep, though.
Oh, boy, they were miserable things.
I'm saying that from experience, because my dad kept some a few years. You have to have such a good fence to keep them in to begin with.
It's a good fence to keep them in.
Yeah. Did they ever bloat on you?
Oh, yes.
What did you do for it?
Oh, I had you heard of Dr. Bell's?
Yes.
Well, I used Dr. Bell's.
Did you? That seemed to fix them.
That fixed them.
The reason I ask is because my father had a special little mixture that he used to use.
Oh. No,
We used to make a mixture of milk and soap suds.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And we'd pour that down their throats.
Yes.
And then Dad said we had to keep them on the run for a while.
Yeah.
And that seemed to cure them for the most part. Well, occasionally we lost one, of course. Mm-hmm. And then he'd slaughter it for meat, but they were miserable little creatures.
Oh, yeah, that's very different.
Did you shear the sheep yourself?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I used to shear myself.
And did you sell the wool, or did you use it?
Yeah, sometimes I send away the wool mills. And the missus always kept one fleece just for herself. She'd card it and
yes, and knit spin it.
Spin it and knit.
Knit the socks and mitts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who used to come around getting the wool? Was there a truck? Did you hire somebody special to come pick up the wool, the bales of wool?
Oh, I just shipped mine to Edmonton.
Oh, did you? Again
to
on
the... what do they call them? It's, that association, the Sheep Growers Association.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I joined that when I assumed I had something to sell.
Yes.
Because you couldn't get nothing for a sheep here in town.
Oh, you couldn't?
No. You was lucky $4 or $5, you know.
A head.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get your sheep from originally?
Well, this bunch here, I had sheep when I was down at Chipman and Tofield there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to the homestead, I sold them all off.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got started here. I don't know if you know this old Frenchman lives east of he used to live east of Collin. He's dead now. Bio.
Bio?
Bio, yeah.
No, I don't think I've heard of him.
Mm. I took out some logs from one time and traded them for sheep.
Oh, did you? Another trade, eh?
Yeah, another trade. I was a good trader. I always
I guess a lot of people did that, though, in those days. You almost had to when there was no
money.
Well,
you couldn't sell nothing for cash.
No.
So you had to trade.
Of course, that's right. Did you ever hire help for the farm? Did you ever have anyone working for you?
No.
Just your
just my me and my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know some of the Indian people used to come by asking for work when I was on the farm.
I did hire them one fall for stukin.
Oh, yes.
It's the last fall I used a binder, I had them stukin.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, you had how many boys, you say?
Pardon?
How many boys did you have?
Four.
Four boys?
Yeah, one was killed overseas and there's three here.
Oh, yeah.
Donald, Gordon, and Rodney.
So there was lots of help there, eh?
Yeah.
You were lucky in that respect.
But Don was the only one that was old enough and big enough to help me on the farm.
Oh, I see.
But she was one of the oldest in the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. What have we missed here? Can you think of anything else, Jean, that we should ask? What would you say is your something very special that you did in your life? Something very special that you did in your lifetime?
What I did in my lifetime, that was being a cowboy, breaking horses.
Really?
Yeah.
You were a cowboy?
Yeah.
In Alberta?
In Alberta.
Goodness sake. Tell us about that.
Well, I started, Dad had this old rancher, big rancher. Generally kept about 500 head of cattle and 500 head of horses. And I started out working for him. And he was quite a rider himself, and so was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So we were fooling around there one Sunday and roped this bronc. And all right, Alex, he said, get a climb aboard and ride him. Mm-hmm. That was my start.
Boy, that was a dangerous thing to do, I would think, eh?
Yeah, so I rode quite a few of them after that.
Did you?
Yeah, and broke them for him. I'd break them and he'd take them to Edmund and sell them.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Did he pay you for doing that? I suppose he did.
Pay me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he paid me. This is day wages, though.
A day's wages?
$2.
Oh, my.
He's come right in my job, like $2.
Oh, that was part of your job, eh?
Yeah, part of my job, yeah.
Oh, gracious. Well, that was quite an accomplishment, I must say. Anything else that you look back on your life now and think that was kind of special or different?
Which years do you look back at as being the best years of your life?
Fine.
Which years were the best years of your life?
Oh, I think from 17 to 25. Well, I was good until I lost my eye.
Yes.
I was a pretty lucky man. I had good health practically all my life. Mm-hmm. I never had a really bad sickness till here 2 years ago when they mm-hmm. thought I had diabetes. They put me on diabetes for 3 years, and then this year, at the time I got hurt there, and I went to the hospital, I found out I never had diabetes.
Oh,
for
goodness
sake. I took all them needles and pills for nothing.
For nothing, eh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So wait, from the time you were 17 to 25, you say?
Yeah.
That's how old you were.
Well, that's when
age
I was single, and,
yes,
you know, and
yes, yeah.
Free and go where I like to do what I like.
Yes. Did you wander about a lot in those days?
Well, I went overseas for one thing.
Yes.
2 years.
Uh-huh.
Then I come back. I didn't do too much traveling around.
No, you didn't go to the States, for example.
I'd maybe go away 100 miles or so and get a job or something, you
yes,
know. Or
yes.
Go and break a horse or something.
Sure. Where did you learn to do carpentry work?
I learned that from an old carpenter after I come back from carpenter or from the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a real carpenter, and he learned me the trade.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think about times today, Mr. Lenny?
Pardon?
What do you think about times today?
Oh, let's see, how will I put that? They're good. Right now, I think. And, for the young people, well, the old people has got it good now too.
Oh, of course.
Sure.
Yes.
Couldn't have it any better.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
I sometimes wonder about these young fellows starting out in life and farmers going to all this debt.
Yes.
I often wonder if they'll ever get out of that load.
Well, some of them don't.
No.
No, some of them are losing their land.
Losing their land now,
which
yeah,
is a
well,
terrible shame.
That's what I was afraid of, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't. That's not good for the country.
No, it isn't. And it's particularly sad when people lose their family farms.
Sure.
Farms
lose
that have been
your
handed
family
up.
Farm and your home is gone and everything.
Everything.
And where do you go?
That's right.
And what do you do?
And what do you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think there are very few young people, it's not just farmers, that owe a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
All young
people have been having a hard...
Most young people have debt. They buy homes.
Sure, they buy a house or whatever.
You get married and you need a home.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got $80,000, $90,000,
$100,000
kicking around?
Yeah.
But these young people seem to have money to buy boats and
They buy boats
and trailers. And skidoos
and all that
trikes
stuff.
And all that sort of thing.
Fancy cars.
Fancy cars. Yeah.
Not just one.
No.
Sometimes two and sometimes three cars.
It's two anyway, if there's a married couple.
Maybe a truck besides.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about all this space exploration these days?
Space exploration, I think they should forget it. Yeah, I think, to me, they're just spending a burden up a lot of money for nothing.
Yeah.
What are they proving? What are they going to prove when they do fly? They claim to have landed on the moon. Well, what did they do? What good has it done?
Well, get the American flag is flying there, but...
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Well, maybe they feel that someday this planet will not be...
Yeah, there may be something there, I don't know.
We won't be able to live on it and may have to go into space to survive.
Yeah, go into space to survive,
I don't know. But
it might be, and maybe that's where this planet came to be.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Yes. So, thank you very much, Mr. Lenny. I think we'll close. I don't know if you have anything else that you'd like to add. Have you any old photographs, Mr. Lenny?
Pardon?
Have you any old photographs?
Any old stories?
Photographs?
Pictures.
Oh, gosh, where are they?
Old ones, I mean...
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know if I think she's got all them.
Oh, has she?
Yeah, I think so.
We wouldn't mind... We have a camera at the archives where we take a picture of your picture.
Oh, yes.
And we like to put it in the archives to preserve them.
Sure.
I suppose I could talk to Sheila.
Yeah, talk to Sheila about it. I think she's... I'm pretty sure she's on got the pictures.
But I'll talk...
Talk to her about it, and she will have an idea of more.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Thank you ever so much, Mr. Lenny. This was very interesting.
I'm sure you're welcome.
Thank you.